That, okay? So we're going to start off with our winners for dodgeball today for the youth group. We awarded points for first, second, and third place, and as you guys should know this already, each of your three teams were broken up into two teams apiece, okay? So that's why you're going to hear one name twice. So taking first and second place were the two Green Supreme teams. Obviously, they crushed it in dodgeball. In third place, not to be overlooked, Fuego Nation. All right, and then for the Timothy side, you guys saw all the decorations that were out there this morning. They had an Olympic day today. They had an Olympic competition, and so the final results there: first place for the Olympic Games for Timothy were the Watermelon Warriors. Second place, Indestructible Indigo. Still don't know why people are booing. I don't understand, but okay. all right, so we got five more cleanliness awards that I'm going to announce, and those today go to Reagan Graff, Kaden King, Liam Willis, Kirsten Simmons, and Keller Webster. So, nice job, guys. All right, and we actually had a flag stealing that happened.
Yeah.
Green Supreme stole Indestructible Indigo's flag. Yeah. However, Indestructible Indigo did all of their Bible verses for the day, so they did not lose any points.
That's right.
So nice job. Nice job, nice job. Okay, and I've got a few character awards that I want to announce as well. So this person gets awarded for helping numerous girls on her team memorize their verses throughout the week, and that goes to Sophie Corley. All right, and then we had somebody that was helping clean up water balloon scraps before being asked by anyone at the obstacle course to do it, and that would be Xavier Hermosillo. And then we had a couple campers that spent the week holding doors open for everybody, Jillian and Jordan Canada. Yeah! And then these four people for cleaning out the girls' bathroom without being asked, Jillian, Jordan, Marcella, and Sophia. All right, and then one last Christian Character Award. This person goes, it's for going above and beyond to make sure that all of her teammates have been included throughout the week, and that is Naomi Sims. Yes! Nice job, nice job. So I think I got all of that. I don't think there's anything else to do, right?
Chargers!
What? Oh, you want to see the scores? I'm just going to say this. First of all, Green Supreme, even though you were last place, I'm proud of you guys. Obviously, you guys picked it up day two and day three. You guys put work in, and you did a good job. So, wait, you tightened up that race. And, you know, we had a pretty tight one there for second and third place. But I'm going to say this. The Watermelon Warriors, they put in the work all week long, and I was told. And this is what separated it. The reason that they won is they had 100% participation every single day. Every single person on the team every day did their memory verse, and they had 100% on the Buddy Bingo thing as well. And so, job to you guys. You guys earned it, so congratulations. So here's what we're going to do now. We have a tradition. We brought the flags back this year. Those of you that have been doing camp with us for a while are familiar with this. We used to do this every year, and then I think we got away from it for a couple of years. And then we had a couple of former campers that are counselors now that let us know, like, we got to bring the flags back. They're too much fun to not do it. So we had a tradition every year, and we're going to continue with that tradition, which is that each team is going to choose the counselors will get together and they're going to choose an MVP for their particular team, and that person gets to take their flag home. Okay? Now, here's the caveat. The winning team, the Watermelon Warriors, you guys don't get to take your flag home because your flag is going back to church. It's going to be displayed in the Timothy room as a reminder to everybody for the next year. You get bragging rights about how you guys won the camp competition in 2024. And if you need to, every once in a while, you can bring it down from that room and just show the youth group that it's up there just to remind them that they did not win first place, okay?
So,
but we don't want you to go home empty-handed, so the team MVP for the Watermelon Warriors is going to get a trophy. Look at this. Yeah. This is spectacular. It says OPBC Camp 2024, and that's your MVP trophy for being on the winning team, okay? So that's a special deal. So with that, I don't know who wants to do this for each team. I need one representative, I guess, from each of the five teams, and you guys are going to announce who's going to take your flags home. Are you first?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're with Watermelon Warriors, right? Okay, so you get to do this. So here you go.
So this obviously was like a tough decision. We had 100% participation on both the boys and girls side. Everyone had a really good job getting their memory verses done, getting their buddy bingos done. But this camper specifically stood out a lot to me and to a lot of the other guys and gals here. And this year for our camper, our MVP is Ian. Ian, come up here. Right? We picked Ian because Ian is kind. He's patient. That's a really big thing. He's been very patient. Every single time we ask him to do something, the first words out of his mouth is yes, sir. And he doesn't just say it; he does it through his actions. That's one of our verses. We don't love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. And that's what this young man did this week, and it was really impressive to see that. And he was a good example for these young men and young women here today. He was always never failing to help his friends with their Bible verse. Just again, patient guy. And you know what? He represented what a Watermelon Warrior is. Right? We work together. We stick together. Right, we fight the good fight. We do the job right. And you know what? The biggest fight that he fought this year is he got in the Lord's army. He trusted Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's right. That's a good thing. That's what he did.
Nice job, Ian. All right, who wants to go next? You got the guys.
We're Fuego Nation, and when we came together to decide this, we spent a couple minutes talking about it, but ultimately we decided on somebody who was not able to fully participate at camp this year. He was a little limp, but his attitude, the entire camp was amazing. He got involved where he could, he did what he could, and we even had a conversation that he thinks this might be his favorite camp, which really just touched me because here's a guy who loves to be athletic and hang out and do stuff, but he really thought that the Lord might just slow him down this year so he could really focus on the things that are important to camp. And I thought that really showed a lot of spiritual growth. So, Grayson Smith for the Fuego Nation.
Okay, I am the Blue Bloods representative, and same thing Josh kind of said, we took a little bit of time to decide who's going to get our flag, because there are a lot of kids on our team who, you know, showed a lot this week that definitely could have been taking this home, but there's one camper that really just stood out above the rest, you know, just an attitude and a spirit that was contagious to us counselors and the rest of our campers and her teammates, and, you know, just always around encouraging, you know, campers to do their memory verses, girls and boys, like making sure that they were, you know, doing what they needed to be doing and encouraging them, helping them and cheering on our teammates, dodgeball, sideball, all the things. So our flag is going to Olivia Miller.
All right.
right, so I'm the representative for Green Supreme, and as Danny kind of mentioned, we struggled that first day, but just wanted to call out there was somebody who really took it upon themselves to make sure that we made some of those gains, and this is a person who really showed a lot of leadership, and this is a person who hasn't been saved a long time, but really has come a long way in a very short amount of time. And this is something, this was something that the counselors talked about, and we really feel like Caden deserves it.
All right, I am the representative from Indestructible Indigos, and we talked about it for a little bit. I just want to say I think everybody on all of our teams was a really good sport, boys and girls. Almost everyone did their verses every single day. Everybody was super helpful to each other. But one person really stood out above the rest, and we came to a unanimous decision pretty quickly. And we think that this person not only was a good role model and a good sport for like our team activities and stuff like that, but he was an example sitting in chapel every Sunday. He was taking diligent notes, and we are very proud of him. Tristan, come on up.
All right. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Bob here in just a couple of minutes for some sword drills and some singing and some good preaching. But in the meantime, let's give away a few prizes. I still got a table full of stuff up here. So I got tired of trying to stick my hand in the jar, all right? So just so you guys know, the tickets are all right here. They're just all right here, okay? So we're going to do this rapid fire. We got some stuff to go through here, okay? So listen up. Run up here and get what you want. First one goes to, I don't know if I'm going to say your name, your last name right, so I'm going to say Dylan S. Yeah. All right. Next we have Reagan Graff.
Yeah. Let's go, Reagan.
Next we've got Austin Strasser. Jordan Kennedy! Yeah. I'm gonna try to leave enough up here for the sword drills. Sophia McKenzie! Yeah. Liam Willis! Yeah. Corbin Bush! Titus Witt. Yeah. Natalie Wilson. Yeah. Xavier Hermosillo. Yeah. Read that one. Caden. Sophie Corley. And Liam Love. All right, guys. Let's do some sword drills. Bob. Let's do some sword drills.
All right, ready for some sword drills?
Yeah!
Well, first off, we're going to, you remember the first night, I need my partner Jamie up here, wherever you may be. I announced that we were going to have one grand prize that would have go to everybody, the staff, counselors, not campers, but the lady win an iPad, and the guy will win a tactical tear gas shooting gun that you can repel your neighbor's dogs with. But anyway, Let's do the girls first. Oh, let me shake them up.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Drum roll. Kelly Leach, and she's in here. We'll get it down to her. Guys, we do the guys too, honey.
John Dobson.
All right, let's do a round here. We'll start with...
Hey, John, show us the gun show!
It's not here, I got to bring it.
Hey, John, it's not up here, I got to bring it.
It's not here, I got to bring it. But you can walk around for a while. All right. Timothy, girls, on your feet, Bibles on the chair. Hands over your head. Remember, you can only win one. Amos 5:8. Go.
Logan.
Going down. Timothy, boys, on your feet, hands over your head, Bibles on your chair.
Hands up, guys.
Here we go. Micaiah 7:16. Go. Yes, I made him a little harder tonight. Check him out. Got it. Go on down. Counselor girls, on your feet. Hands over your head. Bibles on your chair. Hands over your head. Obadiah, verse 14. Go. You got it? Go on down. Counselor guys, stand up, hands over your head, Bibles on your seat. Jeremiah 38:16. Go! Go on down! High school boys, on your feet, hands over your head, Bibles on your chair.
Next year, Ezekiel 44:17.
Go.
Thank you.
have is taking them.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. I see a monkey in the tree. I once was a tablet with a tail tucked in, then I was a monkey in a...
Good job,
Jay. Daniel 4:14. Go. Go on down. All right. Timothy, boys, on your feet. Hands over your head, Bibles on your seat. Your verse is Joel chapter 2, verse 10. Go.
Joel 2:10.
Timothy, girls, on your feet, hands over your head. Here we go. Ecclesiastes 6:4. Go.
Whatever you want. It's your choice.
Ecclesiastes 6:4.
Yes.
Ecclesiastes 6:4. High school girls, on your feet, hands over your head, Bibles on your chair. Isaiah 28:18. Go. High school boys on your feet. Hands over your head, Bibles on your chair. Your verse is Obadiah, verse 1. Go. Sit down. Girl counselors, on your feet, hands over your head.
Hey, let's go,
Casey. Here we go. Your verse is Jeremiah 38:16. You may go.
Hey, good job, man.
All right, high school counselors on your feet. Male. We just did the girls. Hands over your head.
Hey, all of you just let me jump
in. No, that's not.
Obadiah 1:10. Go.
That's fun.
Jamie and John.
Don't call me. No! Hey! Abby, no!
Go on down!
Boo! Hey, I'm undefeated.
Now, the last night of camp, we always sing the camp song about the day you got saved. None of you know it, some of you don't. It starts out with, it was on a Monday, somebody touched me. It was on a Monday, somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. When you were saved on a Monday, when we sing that, you stand up. Then we go to Tuesday. It was on a Tuesday, somebody touched me. If you were saved on a Tuesday, you stand up. Right through the week. Now, some of you, much like myself, don't remember the day that you got saved, but you did get saved. So for you, at the end, we throw in, it was on a one day. Somebody touched me. Okay? All right. Here we go. Now you stand up for your day. Everybody understand that? All right, here we go. One, two, three, four. It was on a Monday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Monday. No, you stay standing up. What's the matter with you guys? The idea is at the end, everybody's standing. Golly. Been singing too much opera. Here we go. It was on a Monday. Somebody stand up and stay up. You give me 10 push-ups right here, right now. 10, 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now you get back to your seat, you silly individual.
That's right. Amen.
The next person that don't get it right. Male or female? Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. It was on a Monday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Monday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Monday. Somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. Tuesday! It was on a Tuesday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Tuesday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Tuesday. Somebody touched me. And Wednesday! It was on a Wednesday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Wednesday. Somebody touched me. Wednesday, somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. Boom, 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 boom. It was on a Thursday. Somebody touched me. Thursday, somebody touched me. Thursday, somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of Friday. It was on a Friday. Somebody touched me. Friday, somebody touched me. It was on a Friday. Somebody touched me. Here comes Saturday. 1, 2, go. It was on a Saturday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Saturday. Somebody touched me. Saturday, somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. It was on a Sunday, somebody touched me. It was on a Sunday, somebody touched me. Sunday, somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. Here comes our day now. It was on a Monday, somebody touched me. It was on a one day, somebody touched me. It was on a one day, somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Way beyond the blue. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Way beyond the blue. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take him too. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take him too. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take him too. Way beyond the blue. Do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do remember me. Way beyond the blue. I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
By the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
And I know I am.
And I know I am.
I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Saved from sin, and I know I am. All my sins are washed away. One more time on that foot. I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
By the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
And I know I am.
And I know I am.
I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Saved from sin, and I know I am. My sins are washed away, praise the Lord. You can talk about me.
You can talk about me.
Or just as much as you please.
Just as much as you please.
I'll talk about you.
I'll talk about you.
Down on my knees.
Down on my knees.
You can talk about me just as much as you please. I'll talk about you down on my knees. All my sins are washed away, praise the Lord.
I am redeemed
by the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
I am redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb, saved from sin, and I know I am. All my sins are washed away, praise the Lord. Amen. Good singing. Sit down. Good job. Well, I'll tell you, this is, as you know, our last service at our camp. It's not the end of camp, because camp is just the beginning of, for many of you, a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll be talking about that tonight. But, you know, I marvel at some of the great things that God has done this week. And it's really been a good camp. It's been everything that I could want it to be, and I'm sure that Danny and Jared and all the counselors feel the same thing. And, you know, we have talked about your born-again identity. And I love the fact that we built it around that movie, Born Identity, because it really gave us an understanding of how to lay some things out of, you know, who we really are in Christ. And you'll remember that I built it around 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Where the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I wanted you to understand this week what changed about you the day that you got saved. First of all, we talked about that. Seven different things. And those seven things really make the difference in your life. So far, on Monday night, we talked about the change of the inner man. And then the change of the outer man. And then, praise the Lord, the change of the end of man. We're all now, you know, saved and on our way to heaven. Last night, we talked about, you know, what changed was your perspective. That's the next thing to change. You look at things differently now as you did before. And because you look at things differently now, the next thing that we talked about last night was now that your purpose has changed. So far it's the inner man, the outer man, the end of man, the perspective that man has, and then our purpose. And tonight we're going to look at the last two, and we're going to talk about them. Then also, what I wanted to accomplish this week, is I told you that there were three things that I really, really wanted you to understand, three things that really were important, and I wanted you to remember this week and to take home with you. And we talked about two of them so far. And, you know, the third thing God this week has provided for you so that you can begin to build these seven things in your life. These seven things, even though they changed about you the moment you got saved, you don't always understand it. You don't always realize it. And that's why you have to have these three things in your life to help you understand what they really are, and more important, put them into your life that they really make an impact in your life. And, you know, we talked about two of them, and I'm going to give you the third one tonight, and these three things are so that you can build on your foundation, and we know that now is the day you got saved, these seven things. Now, Monday night, I told you that God has provided a place for you to believe. Learning God's Word. Establishing yourself in the Word of God. The Word of God establishing itself in you. Building on that foundation you laid the day that you got saved. So, first night we talked about God provided a place for you to believe. Your youth group. Our church. And it's a structure that God has put together and put in play that is intended to help you put those things in your life. Then, on last night, the second night, we talked about God has given you a place to belong. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, it talks about iron sharpening iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You've learned this week, hopefully, the importance of good relationships. You build friends here. Maybe people that you didn't know before you came to camp, or maybe you didn't know very well. And now, because we've had three or four days together, you've had a chance to meet new people, get to fellowship with new people. And now you can see the value of the right kind of associations. They're very important, because we need to help each other. I couldn't do what I do and be where I'm at with the Lord if people in my life haven't been there for me. I told you last night, God never intended anybody just to get saved and then move out from there and just, never be anything for on their own. Somebody has to help you. Somebody has to be there for you. No man is an island. You have to have relationships, but they have to be the right kind of relationships. And that is so very, very, very important. You know, we need to sharpen each other. Because what you don't want to happen in your Christian life is for you to lose your edge. You always want to be sharp. The Bible is likened to a sword. And we use that sword in our lives on an everyday basis. You don't want a dull sword. You want a sword that is sharp. I have seen some Japanese swords, samurai swords. They were made back in the 13th and the 12th century by some of the greatest sword-making masters the world has ever seen. And here it is, 2024, they're worth a lot of money. And you actually, when you want to see if it's a real one, you take the handle off. There's a way that you can take the handle off. And every master swordsman wrote his name in the year that it was done on that, so you can pop it off and you can see it. They were in use all the way up. Every Japanese officer and NCO had one in World War II, but they were made all the way back in the 12th century. They were such a fine sword that you could take it out of the sheath, you could hold it straight out, somebody could throw a piece of cloth up in the air, and the cloth would fall down on that blade and just cut that thing right in half. That's how sharp they were. I've seen guys do that. I've seen guys also that were so dumb that didn't know how sharp they were. I was at a military show one time where they sell military artifacts, and there was these two teenage guys there that were really doofuses. I mean, they were really stupid. And they wanted a samurai sword, and the guy there was selling them. They were repos, but they were really nice, good-looking swords. So he buys one, and I, about an hour later, I've got to go to the restroom, so I'm walking down through there, and all of a sudden I see this trail of blood going back into the bathroom. And I went in there, and the kid had taken it out, looked at it, and then ran his hand down to that blade. And I mean, just ripped his hand to pieces. And I thought to myself, every Christian ought to be just like that samurai sword. You ought to be able to cut your way out of anything. You never want to lose your edge. You never want to lose your sharpness. And the way that we do that is by everybody helping everybody else. You got your little awards this week for just doing things to help people. I think that's wonderful. We had a kid last year at camp that I had some military shoes up there, and he was just a little guy, and the shoes were like size 11 and a half. Well, he won one of the things, went up and he got the shoes, and I saw him sitting there. His feet were going to be way small for these shoes. And I asked him, I said, how come you took the shoes? And he answered to me, he said, well, he says, I got those from my grandpa. Well, I'm thinking that is the greatest thing in the world. Now, you know that kid is back to camp this year? Somebody already told me that he took one of the Bibles to give to somebody in his family that didn't have a Bible. It's things like that. You people get your little tickets for opening the door, for being kind, for helping people with their memory verses. This is what it takes. It takes us helping each other. We're all the same here, me included. I'm no better than you. I may be older than you and, you know a little bit more about life and Bible than you do, but we're all the same. I would not be where I'm at today and have everything that God has given me if somebody hadn't gotten in my life, many people through my life, help guide me, mold me, correct me, rebuke me, and help me. And that's what associations are all about. And you this week have got an introduction to that. And now you've got to realize that God has given you a place to belong. Your youth group, our church, back in St. Louis, in your church. And all of you folks, even though you may live all around the country, you follow us on YouTube, and we basically are your church. Yep. And there's enough that we can do, even in cases like that, that you're not left out of it, because you're important. So when the Bible says, Proverbs 27:17, that iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That's what we're to do. And you've got a good introduction to that this week. Building strong relationships that keep us sharp, so we never lose that edge. And then tonight, I'm going to give you the third one. God has given you a place and provided for you a place that you can believe everything that God has for you that you need. God has given you a place where you can now belong and really grow, become part of God's team. And then the third thing tonight, God has provided for you a place to become. To become everything that God wants you to be. You're beginning a journey in your life this week, many of you, that you'll never look back and see the world like you once looked at it. It was, I don't know, 20 years old when I found myself where I needed to be at a camp, just like yours. And it was just right then. I saw it, and I realized that I was done with the world. And I realized, without realizing what I'm giving to you, I realized that now I had a place that I could believe. Now there were guys my own age who could take me in, and boy, they did, and made me feel like I belonged. And then through the teaching and the preaching and the Word of God of the men that God put in my lives, I learned how to become everything that God wanted me to be. Now, if you're saved tonight, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:19 that you're now, your citizenship has changed. You're now a citizen of heaven. You belong with the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Ephesians 2:6 that if you're saved tonight, in God's mind, you're already seated in heavenly places. You're as good as in heaven right now tonight, even though you're still down here on earth. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, when you get your perspective and you get all that put together, the Bible says that now that you are Christ's ambassador. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Now you realize what an ambassador is. Our country has men and women who are ambassadors to other countries. What that means is, if you don't know, that they now are assigned to go to every country on this planet, with an exception of a few. And you have a building there that becomes a part of the United States, even though you're on a foreign soil. As an ambassador, you bring goodwill from America to that country. You're the go-between between any issues that come up. The President of the United States won't necessarily call that person who runs the country. He'll call the ambassador, and the ambassador will meet with the whoever and work out the problems. That's the way it works in life on planet Earth. But once you get saved, you're now Christ's ambassador. This whole world's not your home anymore. You're like the ambassador to England, or the ambassador to Africa, or the ambassador to China, or the ambassador to wherever. You're in a foreign country, but you represent your home country. And now that you're saved, your home country is heaven. And you represent the things of God to a lost and dying world. Now, an ambassador to another country, he doesn't have any rights in that country. He doesn't have any rights to do anything because he's not a citizen of that country. He's an ambassador to that country. And when you understand that now that you're saved, you're an ambassador for God to the world, you realize you don't have any rights either. You go where God tells you to go. You represent heaven and Him and everything about the Word of God to a lost and dying world. Because now you're His ambassador. It all changes. It all changes. Now, I don't expect you at all to be able to go out of here tomorrow. You young kids, anyhow, I don't expect you at all to go out of here and just start doing that. But I do expect you, because God has provided a place for you to believe and a place to belong and a place now that you can be everything that God wants you to be. When you go back Thursday, you get with your youth group, your high school or your Timothy, and you let them now begin to teach you and train you and give you everything you need so you too can be that ambassador that God wants you to be. I mean, it's just that simple. It's just that simple. You now belong to Him. As I said, this whole world is no longer your home. Your perspective now has changed. and you now realize how heaven is real to you and what it should be. And now you've got, through your perspective, now you've got a job to do. And this will be, last night, your purpose. You have a ministry that God wants to prepare you for. I don't know what that would be. I don't have a clue. But God has a calling. If you're saved tonight, God has a calling and something He wants you to do for Him, for every one of you here. Now, I couldn't begin to tell you what that is. I wouldn't even try. But I am going to tell you this. The only way you're ever going to get that calling and get into that ministry is for you to understand your born-again identity. And then get with the guys and the gals who are working there with you in our church for you. And that's where, in time, as you grow, as iron sharpeneth iron, as they work with you, as they help you, as you go through the problems and the issues of your life that you're dealing with. This is where, through all of this. Danny said something the first day when he was talking that was, I thought was, you know, was a very incredible thing for all of you. He talks about the fact that we're to give thanks for everything. You know, there's some things in life that will happen to us that when it happens, it's hard for somebody maybe to say, how do I give God thanks for that? I've dealt with a lot of people, good people in their lives, that have had terrible, tragic things happen to them. My good pastor friend, Mike Veach, who pastors a church up in Staten Island. Mike is probably, in my mind, Mike is probably one of the greatest pastors, if not the greatest pastor, I ever met in my life. I've never seen a guy who is as good at what he does as he does. And, you know, I got to preach in their church several years ago. Many of you went up there with me when I preached their anniversary. And I've always liked Mike. We never really got to spend much time together. But that weekend, or that time I was there, we spent a lot of time together. And I really got to see him. I really got to understand him. I always liked him, and I always knew he was really good. But when I saw his church, and I saw how he was doing things in the ministry, he really became a hero of mine. He has a real heart for the Philippine Islands. And every year, he goes to the Philippine Islands with the crew from his church of men. And they'll meet up in the boonies someplace with all the pastors that are out there in the jungles of the Philippines. He texted me a couple of years ago and told me, when I had texted, he told me that he was in the airport in Manila getting ready to fly out. And he wanted to thank me. And he wanted to thank me because I had made available to him when I was up there all the material that I have put out on how to study the Bible, all the different things that we have done. And he told me, and I had no idea he was doing this. He told me that he wanted to thank me because they had taken all of that material and translated it into the different dialects and languages, and they used it for like 250, 300 pastors to give them training and teaching, and then gave them the material to take back to their churches. Well, I was overwhelmed. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean, and I just thank God for it. But Mike has always been everything I think that a pastor could be, should be, and he's always been a hero of mine. Last week he was preaching down in a state down south someplace, I forget where it was, and he was on a motorcycle with a guy that was taking him around someplace, and they got hit by a car. Mike lost his leg in that accident, I got a text from him. I tried to call him today, but I couldn't get through, but I'll connect with him. But he lost his leg in that accident. And then he told me in the text that not only did he lose his leg, but he has to get a complete shoulder replacement from that accident. Now, how do you give thanks in that? Well, Mike did. Believe me, Mike does. I just tell you, he told me, he says, I'm getting stronger every day. He says, I'm doing fine. He says, I'm going to be down here 2 more weeks. Then I'm getting back up to New York, and I'm going to get set, checked out for an artificial leg. And he says, I got to get the shoulder replacement. And he says, but I just wanted to thank you for your prayers, thank your church for their prayers. And when the Bible says, in all things give thanks, there's some terrible, tragic things that happen sometimes in our lives. And you ask yourself, how do you give thanks in that? Well, the bottom line of giving thanks in that is to realize the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. We may not see it at the moment it happens, but this is the promise that you hang on to so you don't lose your edge. You hold on to the promise that even though I can't understand this right now, and, you know, I mean, if anybody that did everything that God wanted to do, if anybody had a right to look up to God and say, what's wrong with you, man? Look what I've done. I've given my whole life. I've done this. I've done that. And now you cut my leg off? Not Mike. Because Mike understands in all things you give thanks, and Mike understands all things work together for good. Sometimes you don't understand it. Sometimes it's hard to get through. But what you hang on to. My old father in the Lord, Mel Sabaka, a man who I wouldn't be anywhere near where I'm at today, if I'm anywhere, without him putting in his life into my life. He used to say this: never doubt in the darkness what God has given you in the light. And boy, that is so true. And I've met Christians who've been through some tough times, tougher times than I ever would have went through. And I see them never lose their love or their relationship with the Lord because they understand. And they have gotten everything that they need. They realize that their life is a living sacrifice. They realize that He died for them. He died for you. Now it's up to us to live for Him. And just as God put all His Son through some terrible things, sometimes we'll have to go through some terrible things. But the bottom line is, give thanks in all things, for all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to His purpose. But how do you get there? Really? Do I expect you to go out that gate tomorrow morning and have that? No, I don't. How do you get there? You get there by understanding God has provided a place for you to believe. He's provided a place for you to belong, and now He provided a place for you to become what He wants you to become, and learn how to give thanks and all things. But it'll never happen if you don't get committed to what God has given you. It's just that simple. Now, the last two things that changed about you the day you got saved, we saw the inner man, the outer man, the end of man, the perspective of man, and the purpose of man. Now, the sixth thing will be the passion of man. You can't have those first five things change your life and not change your passion. Learning to love the things that God loves. Learning to love God. And I'm telling you, you never just wake up some morning and learn how to love God. We're so different than God. He's holy. I'm not. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. How in the world does somebody like me or you get to the place that you love God? And the way that you do that is by putting the things in your life that help you get there. Have your teachers teach you in the high school or in the Timothy. Teach you the seven things that God loves versus the seven things that God hates. And then you study those things out. You learn and you begin to put some things in your life, take some things out of your life. That's how you start. That's how you do it. You're told in Colossians chapter 3 verse 2 that you're to set your affections on things above. I heard, you know, I talked to people this week and I talked to people out there and I heard that, and this is true of any camp, but I heard that there's kids here that you're probably not going to make it. And I say that with a heavy heart. But you've already committed that you think you can't go back and leave the friends that you have back there or leave the things that you have back there. And I feel sorry for you. And what I told you the other night, it has to be your choice. There's nothing that I can do to make that choice for you. But I can tell you what your problem is. Your problem is simply that you have set your affections on the wrong things. And until you change those affections toward God, nothing's going to change in your life. And it's going to happen. You just don't come to camp and make some kind of profession and walk out the door and everything is different. You're going to have to face some challenges. It may have all changed, but you're going to have to learn and understand those changes and how you make them work into your life. And I keep saying it coming back because I want to make that impression on you. It comes back to you getting those three things in your life about what God has provided for you. And it's just that simple. You're told in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, that we're to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and all of our soul, and all of our strength. I want to tell you right now, that is the hardest thing to do. It's something you're going to have to work on every day of your life. You know why? Because God is up in heaven and you can't see him, but there's everything around this world that you can see, that you can touch, that you can taste, that you can take into your life. That's why the importance of having the Word of God, something that is God, that you can hold on to, that you can read, that you can touch, that you can taste, that you can get everything out of it that you want. And that's why you have to get to that place that you put the people in your life who's going to help you and teach you, and you're going to grow to the place where you actually love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all of your soul. Then the seventh thing is that changed about you. Now you have patience in your life. Patience is probably the greatest quality in the Christian life after you get saved. It takes many people a long time to get there. It took me a long time to get there. The older I get, the less in a hurry I get. The older I get, through my experiences in life and dealing with things in life, I've seen the value of letting God be God and just waiting for God to do it in his own time. And you know, when it comes to your own spiritual growth, it's going to take time. It's going to take you, like I said last night, it's going to take you making a commitment. It's going to make a commitment to you, those three areas in your youth department, in your church. And, you know, you're going to have to realize that God gave you a place to believe the Word of God. He's given you a place to belong, and he's given you a place to become everything God wants you to be. You know, I read over there in the book of Daniel, in the first couple of chapters, that when the Hebrew children were taken down to Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar saw in a moment that he needed to destroy these Hebrew children. The Bible talks about the fact that they're, you know, that they have been trained in the Old Testament. The Bible talks about that they were skillful in all wisdom. The Bible talks about the fact that they had learned everything they needed to learn. And the devil wanted to destroy that. But there's one more reason why the devil really wanted to destroy them. All of those Hebrew children of the tribe of Judah were in the line of Christ. He wanted to stop the line of Christ from ever coming to fruition in this world. If he could have done that. And the Bible says that, you know, he took these Hebrew children and then he put this eunuch over in charge of them. And the Bible says that for 3 years, this is what he wanted to do. For 3 years, he wanted to feed them, give them all of the filth and the slop of Babylon. And the Bible says that his goal was at the end of those 3 years, he was going to have them come back and stand before him, the king, and they would have been totally integrated into Babylon and been worthless and have bought into everything and have been absolutely destroyed. That taught me a great lesson. 3 in your Bible is the number of completion. So he wanted these boys to be trained in the filth of Babylon for 3 years, and then at the end of 3 years, stand before him. And I saw that and I thought to myself, you know, that's an incredible thing, because when Jesus Christ came to this earth and he called his 12 apostles, he trained them for 3 years before he went back to heaven. So I began to see the key of 3 years. And I'm telling you this, tonight, if you'll commit to these guys and their ministries in our church, in 3 years' time, you'll be ready to go and do something and have a great handle on the Word of God, and God will use you in the process to get you there. On the other side of that, if you don't, when you leave here, 3 years from now, you'll be gone. Either God will change your life in those 3 years and train you to be what he wants you to be, or the world will train you in his 3 years and destroy you. It's just that simple. And you got to remember now, and I keep saying this, camp doesn't end tomorrow. It's really only the beginning, if you're willing to make that commitment. Commitment to build those 7 things in your life and let these people that love you so much, that gave up their job, their family, there's some of them that have little babies at home that they let somebody else keep them because they felt it'd be important for you to be here for you. Tomorrow morning between 9 and 10, you're going to be back up with your parents. You're going to go out that gate. And right outside that gate, the world's going to be waiting for you. Last night, before I went home, all by myself, I walked down around the fence line over here. And I heard them talking about you. I could hear them laughing at the bar right up the street. I could see them doing all the things out there that the world does. And it was saying to me that they're waiting for you. They're waiting for you to go out that gate tomorrow morning. You're safe here. But tomorrow morning you go back out and the world is going to be waiting for you. It's easy to make a commitment here, and I thank God that you did, and I praise the Lord. And I think a lot of you, if not all of you, or at least most of you that made it, I think you're sincere. But the real test is not going to be in a place like this where everybody loves the Lord And the real test is going to be outside that gate tomorrow.
Right.
What are you going to do when you get home and your phone rings and it's that old crowd? What are you going to do that when your phone goes off and there's the text wanting to suck you back into it? No, they're outside that gate. They want to pull you down. They want to drag you back. The devil will immediately try to undo in your life what God has done this week. And I'm telling you, these three things I gave you this week will be the game changers for your life. Guys, it's simply like this. If you don't do it, you won't make it. And I think that would be a tragedy. Now, hey, I know as well as I'm standing here that there's maybe a few here that really don't care. But I think the majority of you have what it takes to be everything God wants you to be. I've done the best I know how to be this week I wasn't worried about being able to teach you the Bible. I could do that sitting on my head, standing on my head in a corner. What I really was concerned about was getting across to you the importance of God providing a place for you to believe, for God providing a place for you to belong, and God providing a place for you to become. Because if you don't see that in what you have in our church, in the Timothy and the high school, if you don't see that, what you've got back in St. Louis, if all of you from around the country that follow us and consider yourself part of our church, if you don't begin to do that, then it isn't going to work for you. I want this year camp to be different. We've done every year, we've done a good a job, and we've done good preaching, we've done everything we can, but I really believe that this year will really make the difference if you'll do it. But you're going to have to make the commitment. You're going to have to make the commitment to become all that He wants you to be for Him. Right now, this week, you belong in this church or this camp to the greatest club in the world, God's club. The question is, are you going to stay with it? There are so many things out there that are going to run opposition to this. I've learned a long time ago that in the world, that all that glitters, my dear friend, is not gold. And you're going to find, I remember studying, you know, in America, the great gold outbreak out in the Black Hills, when everybody headed for California because at Sutter's Mill in the 1800s they found gold and it started the gold rush. And everybody rushed to California and the Black Hills and every place to dig in the ground and finding gold. But yet, when you look at that, you'll find that there is gold that is the real gold, but then there's another phony gold that's called fool's gold. It looks like gold, it feels like gold, it's in the ground just like gold, but it isn't real gold. And see, this week you've got the real gold. You got the gold of the Bible, the highest standard, not only on earth, but also with God, the deity of Christ. You've got the gold. Please, please don't trade it for fool's gold. Please don't trade it for something that's worth nothing. When this week you have something that's worth everything. And that's my prayer for you. Tonight's the last night. It's the last night for you being with your friends. It's the last night that you're going to hear any preaching. But it's also the last night for you to make a commitment. Because in just a few moments, I'm going to be done. Last night we had, and I did it on purpose, I wanted to deal with the people that were probably unsaved in the camp and deal with them first. And, you know, we had a host of people come up, and I realized that you have people that don't understand or people that are already saved. We had over 10 people come to Christ last night. And I thank the Lord for that. But before I close tonight, let me ask you this one more time, one more plea. If you're here tonight and you don't know for sure if you died right now, if you don't know in your heart 100%, please don't leave this camp without you trusting Christ as your own personal Savior. Camps like this, they'll change almost everybody on whatever level you are. Some of you got saved, probably still need to get saved. Some of you got right with God. Some of you got the experience of working in a place. In other words, what I'm saying, on whatever level you are, your life will never be the same again because of what God has done this week and what you saw Him do. But I ask you one last time, and I'd like to have every head bowed and every eye closed here for just a second. Just me and you now before I'm done. If you're still here in this camp and you don't know for sure that you're saved, I want to offer you one last chance to make the greatest decision in life you'll ever make, and that is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. If you're here and you don't know that, would you just put your hand up tonight so I can pray for you? Let's get a little more particular. Now, I'm not talking about people that came forward last night. I'm talking about new people who don't know. If you came forward last night, then you were dealt with. I'm talking about people now who did not come forward last night, but you now see the value. Just put it up high so I can see it, but don't put it up if you came forward last night. Okay, anybody else? Okay, buddy. We're just going to wait a moment. Okay, you can put them down now. Now let's work this thing the way we need to. If you raise your hand and you're not sure about your salvation, and you did not come forward last night, you're a new person to this coming up here, I want to invite you to slip out and come up here with me right now, and we'll get somebody to deal with you. Will you come up right now? If you raise your hand, I'm not going to wait long. I gave you a shot. Come on, right now. Who'll be first? Who'll be first? You raise your hand, you're not sure. Come on, let's go. Anybody? I am not sure what I need to do. Okay, God bless you. Come on up, kids. Anybody else? Don't come because somebody else is coming. You come because in your heart you know what you need to do. Anybody else? We just want to make sure. We don't want to leave this camp without somebody, everybody knowing that we possibly can for sure. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm just going to wait because I'm going to have these people taken out and then I want to talk to the rest of you. Okay, Jamie? And if you could give these to you, I need to have you here, so if you could give these to our kids or whoever. If you're counselors, if you, these are your kids, grab them. I'd like to have Danny and I'd like to have Jamie and Jared and McKenzie come up here. Danny on this side and Jared on my right here. Go ahead and take them out. Wait a moment. Take your time with them, counselors, and make sure that they understand. Now, I'm going to take it for granted that everybody else here is saved. And I don't care if you're in the high school. I don't care if you're in the Timothy. I don't care if you're a counselor in either one of them. This is a total commitment package here. I'm opening up the invitation for you now that you're going to understand those three things that I said to you that need to be, God has provided in your life. And if you're in the high school, in just a moment, counselors, if you work in a high school, I include you in this because these are your kids. Timothy, if you work with a Timothy, I include you in this because you work with these kids. But right now, if you're going to say to me and you're going to say to your pastors here, I'm going to make the commitment that I'm going to put those three things in my life and I'm going to allow you and work with you and you're going to help me be everything God wants me to be because God's given me a place that I can belong. I want you to step up and go to either Danny if you're in a high school or Timothy or Jared if you're in a high school. Band around them right now. Let's go. I'm going to be part of what you do want to do. My life is going to be yours. You're going to help me. You're going to give me everything that I need. If you're in one or the other, you go to where you are with your Timothy and other people, your high school. You make the commitment that I'm going to let you train me, teach me, and I'm going to be involved. High school on this side, Timothy on this side. You don't go with your counselors now, kids. You go with whatever insurance you're part of. If you're in the high school, this side. If you're in the Timothy, that side. We're going to wait for a few moments for anybody else that wants to be part of it. This is your time to make your commitment. This is the time to make your commitment to what God has called you to do and to be what God wants you to be. Either the Timothy or the high school, which whatever one you are, but you get with them. And then you're going to make a commitment that you're going to be with that. If you're in the high school, here. If you're in the Timothy, you're over here. Everybody here now in the high school? Is anybody here that's in... You in high school? You're over here.
No, she's right.
She's right. Okay. Everybody here is high school? She's probably 35 and I just didn't see it. Everybody here in Timothy, right? Anybody else before I close it out? Well, now you guys got something to work with. You start with this, and I know some of your kids are out there. Now you got something to work with. You take the rest of your night tonight, and you do whatever you're going to do at camp, but we go to work. We leave in the morning, but we don't end in the morning. You're now a part, and I expect you to see up there on youth Thursday night. I expect you to see you in Timothy on Sunday morning, be at the activities. Let these people work with you. When we come back to camp next year, you now be part of the working staff of this camp that you now can be used of God to help others. Even if you're too young to be on a staff, you can help people that come to camp and put your life into their life, just like somebody's done this week with you. Okay? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus. We love you. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the time we've been able to share the Word of God with these dear kids. We pray now, Father, that you'll just give them a good time tonight. Let the ones that are being dealt with, give them clarity of thought. As the high school kids go down to the bonfire in a little bit and talk about where they're going and the Timothy do their thing and work with those kids, Lord, tonight, we just pray, Father, your hand upon it. We love you. Thank you for protecting us this week. And thank you for giving us a good time in the Holy Spirit of God working in the lives of these kids. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. For our sake we ask it. Amen. All right, guys, you can mosey on out. You can do whatever you want to do with your guys. Everybody else, you're dismissed. Go out there. I guess we got free time. The concession stand is open. The craft thing is open. And you're good to go.
And so you go to close.
All right, y'all, come to you. Go out there, we're going to quiet down at the bunch of the same. We'll let you know when it's time to go now. Now, here's the thing, right? If you look at the reflection question, that last reflection question is the one that's going to be big, right? I'm sure you want a commitment, right? But what's the step you can take? Start taking what the Lord's put on your heart. We're going to deal with that tonight. Bring your phones down to the bonfire. We're going to deal with things that change. We're going to have to see if we can do some stuff tonight, all right? But here's the deal. Start thinking about that step. What's the Lord put on your heart? Pick one thing, right? There's a lot of stuff. Pick one thing tonight. Talk to your counselors about it. It's quiet time. Let's get your intent.